You know, the civil rights movement was in full swing when I was the age of these children in elementary school and later middle school. I remember it well. It was hard to ignore, and we spoke of it at the dinner table and in my Unitarian church. Young people, college students mostly, were among the foremost leaders and activists in the civil rights movement. Diane Nash, James Bevel, John Lewis, and many others led the way in breaking up segregation, the organized everyday humiliation of black people that had been the law in the American South. White people ruled the roost, and a brutal roost it was, and anyone who questioned it was threatened. Some were even killed. But these young college students whom I just mentioned and their friends, they challenged all that. They desegregated lunch counters and bus service in Tennessee and then headed into the Deep South, where segregation was especially brutal, to try to do the same. Now, 1963 was a year of confrontation in Alabama, especially in Birmingham, Alabama. Every few days, hateful racists were setting off bombs in the homes and businesses and even in the churches of the people who demonstrated in support of integration. As tensions escalated, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and other brave people, young and old, were invited to come to Birmingham to confront these hateful, exclusionary laws and practices. The police would not permit Dr. King and the students to organize or stage sit-ins or protest marches, even. But they did anyway, and they got arrested. One child, young person, teenager, Janice Wesley Kelsey, who was an 11th grade student, got arrested. She said, "It wasn't so bad. There was cold concrete floor and an iron bed. That was unpleasant. But I had friends there, and I was fighting for a cause." Day after day, this continued. Soon, most of the Birmingham residents willing to join in became fewer and fewer. People were afraid they would be retaliated against because many were, and perhaps even bombed, as many homes, businesses were. So the willing protesters began to dwindle. But that's when the protesters were joined by a new and very brave group of students. Very young students, high school and even younger kids, all the way down to age 6. Dr. King and over 100 of these people, young and old, were arrested, roughly handled, and thrown in jail. That was just the beginning. Every day, protests and arrests continued. One of the young women said, "We didn't hate white people. We didn't even know any. We hated the system, and that's what we were protesting about." While he was incarcerated, Dr. King wrote his famous letter from a Birmingham jail, in which he invited ministers, rabbis, and people of faith across America to come and join him and the children in ending segregation. And that letter is like required reading, I think, for anybody in America who's trying to figure out the proper role of religion and government. And many people did come, including over 100 Unitarian ministers, including Leon Hopper, who was later minister here. He was a young man when he responded and joined in that struggle. But it's important to remember, despite the leadership from religious leaders and some of our political leaders, not enough, but It was children who led the way and who broke the spell. These kids were an inspiration to me and many other people across America. Day after day, they put themselves in harm's way. Well over 1,000 kids, children, were incarcerated, were arrested, put in jail, usually briefly. In September of 1963, I was in the 8th grade. 4 young girls were murdered when a bomb exploded in the 16th Avenue Baptist Church while they were in Sunday school. That's when the country's president at the time, John Kennedy, federalized the Alabama National Guard. The worst of the hateful behavior was curtailed, and within a few months, integration happened. Dr. Martin Luther King was important in making all of this happen, but so were the children. The children led the way.
So I wanted to show you a graph that shows how long Africans were brought here and enslaved, over 339 years. For 89 years, we had segregation. Right now, I think we are still in segregation, but we feel better about it because we think we don't have segregation. How many of us live in mostly white neighborhoods? I include myself in that. Have segregated schools? How many people have teachers that were any other color but white when you grew up? So we're not out of what needs to happen to bring liberation to black and brown people in this country. So Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is revered right now. In 2019, there was a whole, in the 80s, I think, is when the campaign to get a holiday named after him was started, and it was a fight, because at the time of his death, he was vilified. We have a whitewashed history of Dr. King right now. He was vilified. 75% of people hated him. J. Edgar Hoover went after him, had a file on him. So I bring this up because he not only was fighting for liberation for black people, he spoke out against the Vietnam War, as did Muhammad Ali, who spoke here at Eastern Unitarian Church. Trivia. He spoke, Martin Luther King was about to embark on a poor people's campaign and talk about income inequality in as much of a meaningful way as he was trying, and so he was murdered. It brings me to the movement that really is continuing the work that started in 1526. There has never not been black people brought here enslaved, not fighting for liberation. So following the, if we can get the next slide, following the acquittal of George Zimmerman in 2013 for the murder of Trayvon Martin. Now keep in mind, George Zimmerman was following a teenage black boy in a neighborhood, and was the, we have the 911 calls, he was told, stop following him. Stop, sir, stop following him. Not only did he not stop, he murdered him and was acquitted according to a stand your ground law in Florida. Following the acquittal, the woman in the center, Alicia Garza, wrote a Facebook post saying, black people, I love you. Our lives matter. Black lives matter. Another activist, Patrice Cullors, the one to my facing the north room, added a hashtag and shared it as hashtag Black Lives Matter. And Opal Tomatai, the woman facing me, reached out to them, she's an expert in communications, and said, let me help you coordinate a communications campaign. And so they did. I had the immense privilege of seeing Patrice Cullors and Alicia Garza this past September, and Alicia Garza, who said, I'm not a millennial, said to her friend Patrice, why are you adding a number sign to this? I don't understand. So she explained the hashtag. The Black Lives Matter movement gained worldwide traction after the Ferguson uprising when Michael Brown was murdered by a white police officer. The community of Ferguson, Missouri had been enduring years of systematic harassment by the police department. including higher rates of traffic stops, fines, and over-policing of black neighborhoods, in addition to many other violations of civil rights. I want to highly recommend to you a documentary called Whose Streets, about Ferguson, the Ferguson Uprising. The black residents of Ferguson had reached their limit and protested for days in the streets. Cell phone footage of the protests and the reaction of the protests by the police, which included military tanks and tear gas, was shared around the world instantaneously through social media with the hashtag Black Lives Matter. Palestinians started sharing tips on how best to wash your eyes and wash your skin after being tear gassed. Black Lives Matter became a worldwide movement for liberation. There are over 40 chapters all over the world. And while Garza, Colors, and Tomatai are the founders, they are explicitly a non-hierarchical and intentionally collaborative movement. Just with Martin Luther King, they are distrusted by many white people and called terrorists and divisive. Some people go on to even say they are the real terrorists, the ones who support Black Lives Matter. There was even a petition on change.org sent to the Southern Poverty Law Center in 2016 asking them to declare Black Lives Matter a hate group. The president of the Southern Poverty Law Center, J. Richard Cohen, had to write a piece for Time magazine, which is still online if you'd like to read it in its full, explaining why they would not in fact categorize Black Lives Matter as a hate group. And I will quote from his reflection, quote, "Many of its harshest critics claim that Black Lives Matter's very name is anti-white, hence the oft-repeated rejoinder, all lives matter. This notion misses the point entirely. Black lives matter because they have been marginalized throughout our country's history, and because white lives have always mattered more in our society. As BLM puts it, the movement stands for, quote, the simple proposition that black lives also matter. The backlash to BLM in some ways reflects a broader sense of unease among white people who worry about the cultural changes in the country and feel they are falling behind in a country that is rapidly growing more diverse in a globalizing world. We consistently see this phenomenon in surveys showing that large numbers of white people believe racial discrimination against them is as pervasive or more so than it is against African Americans." End quote. For the past few years, UU congregations and also United Church of Christ, Methodist, other denominations all over the country, including East Shore Unitarian Church, have been hanging banners declaring Black Lives Matter. Our banner has been vandalized several times, so thanks to Nicole, I think she's just buying them in bulk at this point. We have a group of people, I think some of them are in this room, who stand on corners in both Bellevue and Kirkland holding signs declaring Black Lives Matter. We have many, many hundreds, thousands of Unitarian Universalists all over the continent, I would say all over the world, who are dedicated and committed to the movement for black lives. And there are UUs who remain uneasy and unsure about this movement and how to work for racial justice, because racial justice work is hard and it is uncomfortable. It is not enough to simply think or believe that people should be equal. We have to support the transformation in our society that reflects true equality and justice, including equity in our justice system, in our schools, in our healthcare, and the list goes on. I'm going to leave you with the words of Opal Tomatai, quote, "It's one thing for you to have nice thoughts, but nice thoughts aren't going to save black lives. Your thinking is not moving or transforming the world, your action will. You embodying the fact that black lives matter and bringing that world into fruition is what's going to change the world. This movement is a movement whose time has come. But we have a lot of work to do, and we need all hands on deck. We have the power to do something about structural racism in our time, in our lifetime. We have to fight like hell to make that happen, but I actually think that we can." End quote. And I think we can too. Blessed be and amen.